Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy, the Tao Te Ching, part 12. The 12th and final episode of the Tao Te Ching on Chicken Philosophy. Or as the French call it, the finale. Anyway, hi, how's everybody doing? Oh my god. So, yeah, it's not every day, not every finale, that we know it's a finale before, at the beginning of the episode. By the way, if this is your first time on Chicken Philosophy, welcome. You may wish to click here and check out the Tao Te Ching playlist, maybe start with episode 1. All right, yeah. Enough is enough. Let's get to it, even though I know there's not much left to read. I don't know how long this episode's gonna be. You already know because you're in the future and you can tap the screen and see. But I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna make it to a full half hour. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. Maybe I'll read something that'll make this thing start going meh, 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 meh. But if that doesn't happen, then I don't know. Okay, so our beverage for today is just a small cup of coffee. I hear America's getting one of these. Congratulations, I guess. All right, well, there's that. And for the incense, we've got some Krishna musk. It's good. I don't know, what can I say? I'm not sure what differentiates Krishna musk from regular musk. Is it a particular kind of buffalo or whatever musk comes from? Or I don't know things. All right. So it's Tao Te Ching. Tao Te Ching. It's been interesting. Tao has a reputation for being all about... Yeah, I mean, it's not without it. It is all about, like, silence and stillness and that sort of thing. So it kind of makes sense, like the oversimplification that Mahayana Buddhism and Taoism are the mother and father of Zen or Chan. I don't know if anybody's put it quite that way, but just that Taoism had a strong influence on Mahayana and the development of Zen. Of course, that's contrary to the narrative that Zen was the real Buddhism that came from Mahakasyapa down to Bodhidharma, and Bodhidharma brought it, and so on and so forth. There's probably some mixture of truths and stories, as it is with pretty much everything these days, and more so every day. But we'll start out on the right foot. We'll just together take one deep breath. I won't overdo it. Just inhale and exhale. Although the Tao Te Ching itself, he didn't have anything nice to say about breathing mindfully. I mean, those are our words, but, you know, conscious breathing or willful breathing, maybe that's... maybe there's a time and place for that particular kind of pranayama. I know I left off the A, because I'm in India. We leave off our A's at the ends of Sanskrit words here, usually. Unless you're talking about King Ashoka, then you leave the A on. Let's get to it. Oh, no, I'm forgetting something very important, perhaps, which is to divine an I Ching first, so we have some idea of, a talisman or a compass direction pointy thing to point in a particular direction. It says here, figure 57, and it's broken double solid, broken double solid. All right. Editor Edward, if you wouldn't mind, please turn up the Jean-Michel Jarre, or Jarre, as the British say, while I look this one up. The gentle, parentheses, the penetrating, wind, end parentheses. There's a comma in between the penetrating and wind, so it's not the penetrating wind, it's the penetrating followed by wind. You usually want to go in the bathroom and release wind afterward. It's kind of a turnoff, unless the music's loud. And then it says here underneath, consistent correctness turns every situation to your advantage. Well, thank you. I've noticed that, actually. As correct as I am all of the time. Anyway, cool. I like it. Sun, penetration, and some other stuff, like wind and preciousness or whatever. It's good. Correctness. All right. I don't know if that's gonna add, you know, when it's like war or something or the brothel, then it's like it kind of affects how we look at it. Like, well, what about this? But the sun, okay, correctness. Yeah. Tao Te Ching is all about that. Let's begin. Let's see where this goes. 75. Why are the people starving? Because those above them are taxing them too heavily. I see where his modern day political alignment is. Small government? I won't soil the That is why they are starving. Too much taxes. Why are the people hard to manage? I don't know, if you walk around Skid Row of any major city, USA, and you ask people living there on the sidewalk, like, why are you starving? I don't know if it's taxes, to be honest. But he's talking to a king. He's telling the king don't tax too much. Presumably, like, the king would only tax too much if he, like, was greedy. And, like, it doesn't cost that much to maintain roads and aqueducts. I'll just keep reading. It's a different time. Why are the people hard to manage? Because those above them are fussy and have private ends to serve. I mean no disrespect to Taoism, Taoists, or Lao Tzu when I make my little snide remarks. But I don't know, you know, like, when Ibn Arabi, like, answers unanswerable questions, it makes you stop and say, wow. When Lao Tzu does it, it's kind of like, oh, is that why it is? Never mind. I mean, you know, not to say, like, people are hard to manage. That, I mean, you're assuming, A, that you have to manage people, but you're a king, so okay. The people above the people, below the king, presumably, are fussy and have private ancestors. Maybe that includes the king. So he's saying, hey, king, don't be fussy and have, you know, like the king is like, oh, people are so hard to manage. Well, if you weren't so fussy. I don't know if these things are connected, but I can see why Lao Tzu is trying to redirect the king's attention. Like, take the splint out of thine own eye before thou seest fit to remove the log out of thy neighbor's eye. Reverse that. That is what, yeah. Why do the people make light of death? Why not? I mean, that's a really healthy way of dealing with the human condition, I'd say. But what does Lao Tzu say? Because those above them make too much of life. Yeah, okay. I mean, it fits. I mean, again, it was a particular time and place. Maybe he's totally 100% accurate for that time and place. I'm just thinking, A, in 2025, Goa, apparently California, whatever, you know, centered view, I grant you. But I try to think universally, but there are things that I take for granted that I can't help but take for granted about post-1978 Earth. Okay, that is why they make light of death. The people have simply nothing to live upon. They know better than to value such a life. You call this a life? Yeah. Okay. Tough times. Second century AD, was it? Second century CE? Beijing, or thereabouts? 76. When a man is living, he is soft and supple. Let's see, where are you going with this? When he is dead, he becomes hard and rigid. You're into that too. Sorry, I'm sorry. There's got to be a line somewhere, Edward. Right? When a plant is living, it is soft and tender. When it is dead, it becomes withered and dry. Hence, the hard and rigid belongs to the company of the dead. Yeah, King, stop being so hard and rigid. The soft and supple belongs to the company of the living. Excellent pickup. Therefore, a mighty army tends to fall by its own weight. Just you wait, sorry. Just as dry wood is ready for the axe, the mighty and great will be laid low. The humble and weak will be exalted. Well, the first one's true. Heaven. In heaven, everything is fine. Thank you, David Lynch. He was a little weird. I mean, I love it, but can't deny. 77. Perhaps the way of heaven may be likened to the stretching of a composite bow. The upper part is depressed, while the lower is raised. If the bowstring is too long, it is cut short. If too short, it is added to. Better than Procrustes stretching it. The way of heaven diminishes the more than enough, with hyphens, so more than enough maybe is one character. The way of heaven diminishes the more than enough to supply the less than enough. Not a very good translation. It should make sense once it's arrived into. The way of man is different. It takes from the less than enough to swell the more than enough. Now it's making sense, although less than enough, more than enough. It takes from the rich, gives to the poor, right? The opposite of Robin Hood, the anti-Robin Hood. Who, except a man of the Tao, can put his superabundant riches to the service of the world? some kind of philanthropist, maybe? I don't know. Maybe that's... Therefore, the sage does his work without setting any store by it. I'm pretty sure he said that before earlier in the book, but it's okay. And something's important. You repeat it, right? Accomplishes his task without dwelling upon it. He does not want his merits to be seen. '78. Nothing in the world is softer and weaker than water. Let me guess, you're going to talk something about the constant flow and how it carves out cliff sides and wears down canyons and shit? Let's see if I'm right. But for attacking the hard and strong, there is nothing like it, for nothing can take its place. Let me read that again. For nothing can take its place. John, it seems like you got a little lazy in the end. It's always a good idea, if you're doing a big project and you're getting toward the end of it and you think, oh, I'm so tired, my brain's hardly working, I need caffeine pills just to stay awake, but I'm so close to being finished. Finish it tomorrow. Go to sleep. Get a fresh night's sleep. Wake up, have a cup of coffee, see the birds chirping. And then finish. That way, you don't end up with translations like that right at the end of a book that got published. Nobody caught that. Everybody read it and they're like, yeah, whatever, John. Whatever. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. You're good. That the weak overcomes the strong, and the soft overcomes the hard. I know we've read that before. This is something known by all, but practiced by none. Therefore, the sage says, to receive the dirt of a country is to be the lord of its soil shrines. Is that a thing? Is that a euphemism? Is it a good thing? Code for, like, soil shrines, you know what I mean? I'm sure it must be a good thing. To bear the calamities of a country is to be the prince of the world. I remember from Christianity, isn't being the prince of the world a bad thing? I'm confused. Sorry, I don't mean to mock. Indeed, truth sounds like its opposite. With a capital T. Truth sounds like its opposite. Oh, truth sounds like truth's opposite. Oh. Okay. 79. When a great wound is healed. Wondering what I'm doing? I just healed that great wound of yours. And that is the power of placebo. Sorry. When a great wound is healed, there will still remain a scar.
Oh, I shall practice my curtsy.
Thank you, Scar. What a naughty cat. Can this be a desirable state of affairs? You're into that too? Yeah, I mean, scars give character. Usually a story connected to him. Therefore, the sage holding the left hand tally. Is that a thing? Is that a thing? Performs his part of the covenant, but lays no claims upon others. Okay, editor, I wasn't gonna, I was resisting bugging you. Could you in this context? What is the left hand tally?
Apparently, in ancient China, a contract between a lender and a lendee would be divided in half, and the creditor, the lender, would keep the left hand tally, and then the person who owed the money. So the person with the left hand tally is the one that the other person owes money or whatever to. So it's a metaphor. So the sage is like forgiving. It's like a jubilee thing, forgiving the debts. Dimitimus, dimitus nos, dimiti nos debitoribus nostris. There it is.
All right, cool. We all learned something today, so we should all click like and subscribe. It's the right thing to do.
It's correct. Mm-hmm. The sun. Sorry. The virtuous attends to his duties. The virtueless knows only to levy duties upon the people.
Duty, is that like a double, is that like duties, like whatever duties are, you know, like duty free at the airport, you know what I mean?
The way of heaven has no private affections.
Sounds like communism to me. With Chinese characteristics.
But always accords with the good. For a small country with a small population. Though there are highly efficient mechanical contrivances, the people have no use for them. Let them mind death and refrain from migrating to distant places. Boats and carriages, weapons and armor, there may still be, but there are no occasions for using or displaying. Let the people revert to communication by knotting cords. See to it that they are contented with their food, pleasing with their clothing, satisfied with their houses, and inured to their simple ways of living.
I just, random thought, probably obvious, but like, yeah, having lived in a small town, very small town, rural, like, South Goan village, and Sierra Madre, California, which is sort of small town, suburb of a suburb of Los Angeles, so it's like, but still. That's not a, like, well, basically, yeah, when you're in a big place,
many factions under the ground, chase down Mr. Hinky.
Devo lyrics. Yeah, so you dress up like a peacock, you know, when you go outside, you like put on the cologne or whatever you're into, you know, like dress up as a goth or a hipster or whatever kind of tattooed maniac or yuppie in a suit, whatever, you know, go out and like, you know, show off to the strangers, the hordes of strangers, right? But in a small town, everybody kind of already knows your name. And, you know, they've seen you through the windows. They already know a little too much for comfort about you. You, depending on how small it is, but, like, much more likely to just kind of, like, dress in some nondescript earth tones or whatever and just kind of, like, keep your eyes down. Maybe, you know, walk around. Howdy! Yeah. But not stand out as much. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out my butt. I don't know. Things are different in different places. Though there may be another country in the neighborhood. I think we have different ideas of countries and neighborhoods, but so close that they are within sight of each other, Alaska and Russia, yeah. And the crowing of cocks, and barking of dogs in one place can be heard on the other. Oh, right, yeah. Yet there is no traffic between them, and throughout their lives, the two peoples have nothing to do with each other, if you're lucky. Better that than, you know, murdering each other. 81. Sincere words are not sweet. Well, they can't be. Sweet words are not sincere. Only sometimes. You can be both sweet and sincere. I disagree with you. I don't think that that's true. Unless it's a translation, like words of flattery aren't truth or whatever. Good men are not argumentative. I never claimed to be a good man. So I know I'm supposed to be because of the I Ching, but the argumentative are not good. I know. The wise are not erudite. Editor Edward, what the fuck is erudite? Having or showing great knowledge or learning. Thank you, Editor Edward. I'm sure I'm probably that, right? The erudite are not wise. They certainly aren't, are they? Now that we all know what erudite means. It sounds familiar. It sounds like a word I would have maybe gotten right accidentally based on process of elimination if it was a multiple choice question, you know. But that was a long time ago. The sage does not take to hoarding. The more he lives for others, the fuller is his life. The more he gives, the more he abounds. The way of heaven is to benefit, not to harm. The way of the sage is to do his duty, not to strive with anyone. Oh, that was the end. It snuck up on me because I thought there was one more page. Well, that was the Tao Te Ching, and it was something, for sure. It was enjoyable, and probably not the, I mean, you know, like, it's, isn't it like the core, it's like the central book of a religion or something, so maybe I should be like, oh, it was fine. I have my little nitpicks with it, but, you know, probably I should be like,
who am I to have nitpicks with?
But I tend to see things more horizontally, more of an, like, we're all equals, but it's not like, you know, someone might think, oh, so you think you're better? No, I think I'm equal. I think that you and I are both equal with each other and with everything else in this ongoing now phenomenon. Yeah, okay, cool. I dig it. Okay, Editor Edward.
Yeah?
It's time for you to shine, Editor Edward. It's time for you to do your thing. Let's bring up the wheel and the thingy up here. If you're not seeing Edward Tao Te Ching up here, if you're not seeing both blue and white stripes up here, then click here, maximize the screen. Now you're seeing the whole video. Can't believe you watched the whole video and only saw 2/3 of it. But it's okay, you know. We all make our choices. Okay, Editor Edward, you know what it's time for? We're ending Tao Te Ching. Tao Te Ching is finished. So we're going to change the pedal. So you can either look down here or up there, or you can try to like back up and watch both at the same time. You can watch the one and then rewind and watch the other. But here's what's gonna happen. Here's the magic moment. The white petal is still there. Still there. And the white petal is now the I Ching petal. And will be for a while. It's about the same thickness, but a bigger book. So I'm guessing it'll take substantially more than 12 episodes to get through this. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm hoping by the end of reading this, we'll... I don't know if have the I Ching memorized is realistic, but we'll have a better grasp of at least the trigrams, how there's like three on top and three on bottom. There's only eight of those. There's 64 hexagrams. But I think it's a safe goal that by the end of reading this, however many episodes it takes, hopefully we'll have memorized the eight trigrams. And then, you know, I don't know. We'll decide. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. So next time, it's going to be Frater BT. Why is it? Those who've seen, what was that thing called? Part ones? So this was made before the next one, which is going to be another part one. This is going to be the first part one that's not in that part ones. Anyway, BT's been like doing well. I guess he did two. He didn't do the one before that. But Nag Hammadi, part one, BT. Tao Te Ching, part one, BT. And now I Ching, part one, is going to be BT. So it just seems to work out that way. I'm just sticking to the chicken wheel. I'm not pushing the needle on the Ouija board or anything to get it to turn out that way. But yeah, he's going to be introducing the I Ching here on Chicken Philosophy. And that is how it goes. That's how it went. And I hope that you enjoyed it. I took one sip of coffee, I think, didn't I? Let's play some music while I take a sip of coffee. Okay. I guess that's it. Next time is going to be a Buddhist books episode. I've decided, I'm declaring it, and I've said that before and then changed my mind. I do reserve the right to change my mind, but I'm fairly certain, because it's been like, what, four chicken philosophies in a row? I've been trying to do two chicken philosophy for every one Buddhist books. That last Buddhist books was particularly disappointing. It's happened once or twice before where I just have to stop and be like, the fuck is wrong with you, Buddha? And it's like, not something that it doesn't make me feel. Yeah, maybe it has some overall positive effect in the development of whatever. But in the moment, it doesn't feel so good. I prefer to be like, wow, Buddha, good point. Thank you. That's my preferred state of relating to Siddhartha Gautama. So, but the next Buddhist Books episode, let's bring up the clock. So, yeah, those who aren't familiar with Buddhist Books podcast, the zero is Padmasambhava, the five is Shingon Buddhism, the two and the eight are Zen/Chan, and all the rest of them are Tipitaka. And so the next one is going to be a two, specifically Buddhist Books podcast episode 292, which might sound impressive until you realize that I've been doing chicken philosophy so often that even though I've been doing chicken philosophy for about half the time, it's already well past that number of episodes. I think it's up to 320 or 330 or something. Editor Edward, how many chicken philosophy episodes are there? All right. Yeah, okay. So, doesn't matter. So, yeah, Platform Sutra, the two is Platform Sutra. So that's Chinese Chan, before anybody called it Zen, because it hadn't made it to Japan yet. 6th century Common Era, I think-ish. Dogen in Shobogenzo made a passing comment about how those in the south, he was talking about the national master in Tong, in China. I think it was Tong, right? Or Song. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, was that he was saying, and Dogen thought he was correct in saying that those in the south, which I don't know what he's talking about. Is he talking about Korea? I don't know. But those in the south there, over in China, some of them apparently, or generally speaking, a lot of them, were misinterpreting the Platform Sutra and blending it with their own local non-Buddhist ideas and coming out with a wrong interpretation of some aspect of the teachings that I've forgotten. But we'll revisit it as we go, and especially once we finish the Platform Sutra, because that prompted me to want to read the Platform Sutra, so that's what we're doing now on the twos. So that'll be next. That'll be next on the Pymander Aquarian playlist. If you're not familiar, check out the Pymander Aquarian playlist. That's where everything is. The most recent is at the top. So the number one video on that playlist is always whatever the most recent video is, whether it be me on Edward Reeb or Going or Sonnet One. It happens every once in a while. Chicken Philosophy, it could be Gwydion here on Chicken Philosophy, or on his Astral Coffee House, which includes his Astral podcast. What's astral about it? It's just sort of because, like, the internet is sort of astral-y, sort of in that direction. Gwydion's poetry, and that's pretty much it for him. And then Frater BT, once in a while he comes up with an Esoteric Nerd, and sometimes he dusts off one of his old ritual videos and uploads it. What are we talking about? What am I talking about? All these things, all of the different channels. There's like, I don't know, 19 channels. And whenever a new video pops up on any of them, then it's assigned a Pymander number. Like this one, I think, is 1056, right? So that means 1,000. This is the 1056th video on the Pymander Aquarian playlist. So, all right. I just wanted to bump this video up to about 34 some odd minutes. All right, this is the finale. Hope you enjoyed it. And I'm going to go ahead and put the Pymander Aquarian playlist up top. And for those who haven't checked it out yet, the video called Part Ones down here on the bottom. It's just sort of a looking back at the past 2 years of Chicken Philosophy, but it's short. All right. Next time it'll be Gwydion doing Mech and Revelation. I mean, next time on Chicken Philosophy, after Pymander does the Platform Sutra on Buddhist Books Podcast.